We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans, and welcome to the Daily Draft brought to you by Badger State Brewing, just minutes from beautiful Lambeau Field. I'm your host, Ross Uglum, and for the final time, before the Green Bay Packers make or don't make a selection in the first round of the NFL draft, I am so very excited to be here for your big draft preview show. Joining me, the one, the only, purveyor of the Green Bay Draft Guide himself, Jacob Morley. Jake, how are you, buddy?
Dude, I am doing good. We are here. We made it.
Christmas is almost here. The presents are almost here.
I feel like the last 48 hours leading up to the draft is very much just like silly season. I mean, names start getting floated around. Yeah. And sometimes they're right. That's the other thing too. Like the Junior Colson stuff that's kind of going around right now. Like someone said, oh, he might, you know, end up being a first round draft pick. That, which I think is bizarre, but we thought it was bizarre when people started saying that about Quay Walker 2 years ago. And it was about this time, you know, where it's like, hey, he might be a first round pick. And then like day of draft, it seemed like the worst kept secret that like, oh yeah, first round pick and Green Bay loves him. And then they took him. So you never really know, man. And that's partially why this is so much fun, because you kind of get those names and you kind of go from there.
Yeah. And I like some of that. You know, I think it's a little bit overblown just for me. Like, Peter Schrager said Quay. It's like, well, okay, what has he said the other seven seasons? Yeah. You know, has he gotten it wrong six times and right once? And look, like, it's hard. It's very hard. I can't even tell you the last time I accurately predicted Green Bay's first round pick. But like,
some would say never. Some would say never. Right.
But even like, one of the guys, Breer, maybe had like, oh, the Packers love Jair. And everybody's like, hey, Breer says this. He got Jair, right? It's like, my God, man, that was 2018.
Yeah,
it's your blind squirrel in a nut theory there. But I tell you who has not been a blind squirrel, and that has been Brian Gutekunst. I think there have been, I would say, reasonable criticisms, right, of this 2020 class, although nothing from that class matters because Jordan Love is good, which is basically what I said. And I'm not taking credit for loving Jordan Love. Everybody knows I was mad. And, you know, was a quote unquote non-believer, but, you know, went on with Andy after the 2020 draft and just said like, look, if Jordan Love is good, nothing else matters. You know, so the Dylan pick doesn't matter. The DeGuara pick doesn't matter. Like, these picks don't matter. If Jordan Love is good, this can be a one player draft if the quarterback hits. And, you know, I would say that he did. Same kind of thing for 2021, right? I think there's valid criticisms of that class. Excuse me. Still kind of, I would say, you know, excuse me. And I'm not willing to like blame everything on COVID, but I would call that, you know, sort of another pandemic draft, right? So, you know, if you don't love the Eric Stokes pick, I definitely understand that. There are other picks from that class that I can certainly understand, you know, folks looking, you know, not so kindly upon, but it was mentioned to him basically in Goody's press conference. You can see how uncomfortable the praise made him in a press conference situation. But I mean, my God, the last two classes, you know, have been unbelievable, you know, and I think, right, there are some guys, like whether you're an optimist or a pessimist or how, you know, invested you are in them, like from that 2022 class, you can have your opinion on Quay Walker. I certainly do. You can have your opinion on Devontae Wyatt. I certainly do the other way. You can be ready not to crown Christian Watson. You can be ready not to crown Sean Ryan. But you look at Dobbs. What is it for the final time?
Dobbs. Forget the U. Forget there's a U in there.
Okay. You know, Zach Tom, unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable pick. Enigbare for where they took him. Sheed, unbelievable pick, right? And then, you know, the home run he appears to have hit in 2023, even if LVN doesn't work out, and it is infinitely too early to say that, Musgrave, Reed, Kraft, Wicks, Brooks, CV, you know, and that's, they still hold an LVN lottery ticket. They still hold a Colby Wooden lottery ticket. They still hold an Anders Carlson lottery ticket to some degree. They still hold, you know, Anthony Johnson Jr. lottery ticket to some degree.
Grant DuBose wasn't good enough to make the team last year.
Right.
Did not make any plays in the preseason. Like when he played, he looked like a player.
Yeah.
You know, might not be with Green Bay. The other thing with LVN too, Ross, is like, yeah, okay, he might not be a superstar ever, right? But like, I think he's already shown he's not going to be bad. Like he doesn't seem like he's going to be a guy that just flat out stinks. And you know, when you're picking where you picked him at 13 overall or whatever it was, like you don't want someone that's just like, he's fine. But there certainly have been worse outcomes, you know, for guys picked that high, like that just flame out in 2 to 3 years. Like I don't see that in LVN's future at all. Like he's going to be a guy that will be a contributor one way or another. And like you said, like the ceiling is still very high, but I think his floor, he kind of proved his floor is probably a little bit higher than what maybe people even thought.
Yeah. And I think, you know, he's sort of like Gary in that way where it's just like, hey, a Big Ten kid who tries this hard and is this athletic, like we're just not going to whiff.
Yeah.
It, you know, and Gary's been really high and Gary's been kind of, you know, right. And I think was easily returned the value of his pick or they wouldn't have given him a huge extension, massive leader for the team. I think that's a great pick. But like LVN, like you said, I think the ceiling just ended up being so high, or excuse me, the floor ended up being really high and the ceiling is almost non-existent. I mean, he can be whatever with
his ceiling.
Yeah. Yep. Why do you think it's gone so well? Like, why do you think these last two, is it luck, you know, or is it capital, right? The Devontae trade, the Rodgers trade. Like, is it, life is easier when you have a bunch of picks? Why do you think this has gone so well?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I think they must read the Packers draft guide powered by Packer Report.
Yes.
No, you know, maybe no coincidence that the last 2 years that we've done it, they've had good drafts. But no, I'm joking.
You mean the two years that I got involved?
Yeah, that's it. True. That is true. So Brian must be reading that. But no, I think some of it's experience. I think you learn from mistakes. I think, you know, it's all process. And I think their process hasn't changed that much, but you know, it's, they're bringing guys in that are very Packery and they always have. And I think, you know, the consistency that they've drafted people with over the last several years hasn't really swayed, but their returns seem to have. And I think some of it is luck, you know, some of it is, wow, this guy is better than, I mean, or he is playing up to what we thought he would be, which doesn't always happen. Some of it's injury luck as well. Like some of these guys have stayed healthier. You know, the Eric Stokes draft, like Eric Stokes looked awesome as a rookie, then didn't look awesome, then got hurt. And then we haven't really seen him. So I think, you know, they just,
the process that they've had has been good. I think part of it, you know, you look at the COVID draft, you brought that up already, that, you know, you go look at that draft class, and a lot of people like to like dog on like the DeGuara pick. Go look around that pick. There, yeah, who else would you rather have? It's not good. And sometimes you have to look at the whole of everything. It's just like, man, there just wasn't really guys to be had. And sometimes that happens, you know, but, and then the next year, you know, you said it was another pandemic. It was more just like kind of panic because this was, I mean, it wasn't even, we're not even in the range yet, guys, of when all of the sudden your two-time MVP, three to whatever he was at that moment, said he didn't want to be here anymore. And all this stuff came out. If you don't think that affects what was going on in that room, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. And I don't know how it couldn't, you know, and this is the draft weekend is such a razor wire of a weekend that you have to be on. You really do. And I can't imagine how tough of a weekend that was for Brian to have to try to juggle everything. And I'm not making excuses for him because that class doesn't look very good, you know, at this point in time. It just doesn't. But there are maybe some extenuating factors, right, that were at play when they were making those selections. Like a lot of people, this is not on the record. This is not me reporting anything, but I've talked to enough people in and around the Packers building or people that cover this team that look at like the Amari Rodgers pick. And there's like, that very much seems like a pick that there's like, hey, Aaron, I know you want a slot. This is like essentially Randall Cobb's nephew. Like we're bringing this guy, you know, yeah. I mean, so like, yeah. It just also it goes outside of what they normally do. So it just makes a lot of sense to be like, wow, there's something that maybe knocked them outside of what they typically like to do, especially at that position where they don't really miss. And Amari Rodgers is a massive miss.
Yeah. And I like, look, we've been accused of hating on Rodgers and whatever. In the same breath, I got accused of, you know, loving love, which was an interesting take. You know, I've been critical of Rodgers. I don't know that I was super ready to move on to Jordan Love. That's been pretty clear. But, you know, and I guess a part of this is maybe going to seem a little bit gross because I am tooting my own horn. But like we nailed it, or I at least did. And this sounds so conceited, but like I want to show you this, right? So we'll zoom way in here. Stack, you might not be able to see this. It's fine. But if you look at my overall ranks, okay, and this was not the case in 2020 or 2021, regardless of what Goody had in his bag from, you know, the Devontae Adams trade, the Aaron Rodgers trade, whatever it may be, for him in 2022, and look, like, whatever, you can disagree with my rankings. I don't care. I mean, I think they've ended up, you know, pretty well. A lot of the guys that I have ranked higher, guys that have, you know, overachieved or what have you, but that's not really the point of what I'm getting at here. For Brian to get the number 17, number 20, so four top 70 guys in 2022 and six guys in the top 107 in a league with 32 teams is bananas. And then in 2023, for Brian to get six of my top 95. And once again, Jacob, how many teams are in the league?
Yeah, I know.
32, right? So for them to get seven players that I had in my top 115, and my rankings aren't perfect, right? I mean, I'm very proud of my Carl Brooks ranking, but like my Jaden Reed ranking looks wrong. And for that matter, excuse me, my Tucker Kraft and Dontavian Wicks rankings, excuse me, might end up being wrong. So whether you think I'm full of crap, what do you think my rankings matter or not? I'm not that far off from consensus. I'm really not. And not that consensus is really necessarily right all the time either. But like any way you look at it, the value that Goody has been able to get out of the last two classes is crazy. And that's what happens. Like when, you know, I think Stokes was like 65th for me and Goody took him 29th. And that doesn't mean I'm smarter than Brian, but you just look at it and you're like, ugh, mm-hmm. No, that's not great. AJ Dillon was like not in my top 150. And that's been fine or whatever, but just some closer picks to, you know, kind of what value is instead of either like checking Aaron Rodgers request boxes, or I think part of it too early was like checking Matt LaFleur offense boxes. Okay. We have a 5'9", 190 pound back in Aaron Jones. We need a power back. Okay. Well, who's our power back? Okay, we'll go get AJ Dillon. Hey, Matt would really like fullback guy like what Juszczyk is, who's a good short tight end. Okay, we'll go get Josiah DeGuara. I think the, you know, Rodgers not necessarily trying to like quickly get Rodgers another title, or no longer trying to check boxes in the LaFleur offense, or you know, the Pettin / Barry defense for that matter. Just in from my perspective, allowed them to, okay, we'll just take good players. And that sounds super simple, but it does feel kind of like what they've done. All right, we need to move on.
And just to hit on that too, Ross. Like,
go ahead.
With LaFleur, I think he showed us this year too that he is a really damn good coach.
Yes.
As well. And there were questions, fair or not, you know, going into this season about, you know, what is he going to be like without Rodgers. And some of that trickles down the whole organization with what you're talking about. Like, with Rodgers, we need this guy, and we need this guy, and we need this guy in place because we've got Rodgers, and we know what he likes and this and that. With Love, you're just like, bring in the talent. Just bring in the talent. And Matt kind of proved, not kind of, he resoundingly proved this last year that, like, I will coach the guys in the room, and we'll figure it out, and we'll be potent on offense regardless of who we're trotting out there. And that is really exciting when you think of that as, you know, on a grand scale of like the guy calling the shots looks to be, you know, not only promising with Rodgers, but just promising on his own merit.
Yeah. And not that Love is like a robot or a point and shoot quarterback. Like, I don't think he's Brock Purdy. I don't think he's just being 100%. I mean, that across the field throw to Heath in Detroit will tell you all you need to know about, like, that Love can create or will do, quote unquote, dumb stuff. Now, sometimes the dumb stuff is a across the field pick to Dre Greenlaw to end your season, and sometimes it's really fun, right? And that's some of the Rodgers stuff, right? Like, Rodgers probably doesn't make that throw to end the game. Now, he might just throw it away and then try to make a miracle happen on fourth down, but you know, I'm not going to do the whole Rodgers versus Love thing, but it does seem, and it should. I mean, it's obvious, like, Jordan Love will listen to Matt. And not that Rodgers never listened to Matt, but, like, Jordan Love will just collaborate with Matt LaFleur and not demand that things are run his way.
That's such a natural thing too. Yeah. Like, yeah. Rodgers had earned that. Like, and that's 100%. That's not dissing Rodgers. Like, Rodgers had earned the fact that, like, my input matters a lot.
Yes.
What I'm saying. Yep. And Matt respected that. And Love is just not there yet. And, you know, for last year with all the young guys, it kind of worked out in their favor because they were all young guys saying, coach, you know, coach, what do we do?
And I think Love
with Rodgers. Yeah.
And I think Love has a chance to kind of then grow where it's, you know, as long as things continue to go the way that we think they're going to go, it does have a chance to be more of like a collaboration, because I do think the power mix was, you know, Rodgers, LaFleur, even though he was the head coach, it's like, you're really going to argue with Aaron Rodgers, even if Jordan Love reaches MVP level or, you know, second team all pro level or even Pro Bowl level, which he probably was at last year as at least an injury replacement, but whatever. That's a long digression. You know, I think that there's a chance to be like, okay, well, this is our offense. Almost like, honestly, what Rodgers and Mac did when things were really cooking.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Rodgers is the reason things stopped cooking, but, like, right away they were at the same level. You know, Mac and Rodgers were at the same level, and they kind of grew together and it became a collaboration. I think towards the end, Rodgers was like, yeah, we're going four wide, and I'm just going to do whatever I want, which a lot of times just hold on to the ball and throw it away. Okay. Out of the last two, I just want to touch on this quickly, and I'm going to do it because I'm looking at the screen. I know you might be even using your phone for this. I'm going to give you the guys right now that I would give above a 50% chance to get a second contract, and you tell me agree or disagree. Only the last two classes. Sheed.
Repeat that. What am I supposed to do with Sheed?
50% or better chance that he gets a second contract from the Green Bay Packers. Sheed.
Over 50, better than 50.
I'm thinking on Kingsley Enagbare right now. I'm going to go no. With his limited athleticism, how much they like taking pass rushers early, and then you throw in a knee injury like this, I think Kingsley's a one contract player for the Packers. I am not willing to write that in stone though.
No, he's going to have to still get better.
Yeah.
I think if he stays the same player, then you say, hey, Kingsley, you were great. We love you, but good luck elsewhere, right? We're going to find someone else. on a cheap deal to hopefully do what you can do.
Zach Tom layup second contract.
Yeah. Give it to, I would have given it to him yesterday.
I will not call this a layup. I'm going to say Romeo Doubs second contract. I'm not going to give it a layup though.
Well, that's hard because it's not just, you got to factor in all the young kids.
Right.
Right. At that position. So when they get to this point, is it going to be Romeo or Christian? Who you taking? Can you take both? Do you have Dontavian and Jaden coming the next year that are going to want big contracts? I mean, there's a lot of factors at play in that one. I would say they've found ways to keep their young receivers.
It's
at least in the second contract. So just looking at the history of that, I would say yes, I think. But not, like you said, not a slam dunk layup by any stretch of the imagination.
Hey friends, are you ready for the Bucks playoffs? Are you ready for a little Dame time? Even if you're not, you're probably ready for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or any of your favorite baseball teams kicking off their 2024 campaign. With all of this amazing action going on, there's never been a better time to get in on the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your sports knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball entries on Prize Picks. Friends, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I'm enjoying my Prize Picks experience. It's so easy to play, and their user-friendly interface and enormous, and I mean enormous, selection of players and stat types make it a beautifully unique experience every single time I log in. Last week, LeBron James came up huge for me, and this week I'm looking to keep the momentum going, relying on Luka Doncic and Connor McDavid. And guess what? Even if Doncic or McDavid get hurt, PrizePicks offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get in on the excitement with PrizePicks. So download that app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the PrizePicks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, GameTime takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through GameTime. My experience with GameTime has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
And I've said this, and I know what he did in the playoffs. I'm aware of that. But like, I think he can be their James Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know how, when all these guys were on the team together, maybe for just even just one season. But like, to me, your best three, if everyone's healthy and everyone's clicking, it's Wicks at Z, Reed at slot, and Christian at X.
Yep.
And that is no disrespect to Dobbs. Goodness gracious. But like, you watch what Christian did to the Chiefs and did to the Lions. That's something else. And
you watch what he did to the Cowboys.
Right.
Yeah. You're terrified of him. And Romeo was the benefactor, you know, the benefited from that. But like, man, you watch three guys run with Christian down the field, they remember that game the year before.
And so I just think in general, like, your best four moving forward, if everyone's cooking, and obviously Christian being healthy is a concern, but I think it's Christian at X, Jaden at slot, Luke Musgrave at tight end, and Wicks at Z. To me. Yeah. So that's what makes the Dobbs' question, if Jordan Love gets mega paid, which he will, then maybe the one guy that you're not allowed to pay and you do have to replace in the draft is Romeo Doubs. I'm gonna say Sean Ryan gets a second contract, and that's faith stuff.
Yeah, that's just I liked him enough before the draft, and I've seen him play good and bad. You know, he's got bad tape out there too. But I think, and you've touched on this as well, where it's like the normal trajectory of offensive linemen in the NFL, it would not be surprising if Sean Ryan came out this year and was like, Okay, he looks like a good player, especially with how much of a, he was, folks, he was a project coming out of UCLA too.
And I showed you some stuff about like just some top 25 picks of tackles that haven't hit yet.
Yeah.
Of recent drafts, and it's a slow burn, but people see Zach Tom and the way that he just gets it and the way that Elgton Jenkins just got it, and they're like, well, why isn't everybody like that? Or the way that David Bakhtiari just rolled into the left tackle job.
Rasheed Walker in a lot of ways is right. A microcosm of that.
Yes.
At the beginning of the year, you're thinking, oh God, like he might be a backup. And now you're thinking, okay, like the way he played the last half of the year, if you can get that guy, why are we even talking about tackle in the draft? Right. So yep.
Okay. We'll do these quick now because we do want to get through the whole kind of outline that we have. Okay. Christian, I can't say no because it would break my heart. Devontae Wyatt, I'm gonna go yes. Quay, I'm gonna go no.
Quay's a tough one. Yeah, I don't know. Devontae, I'd say yes too, just because you have one thing you can hang your hat on right now and say, boom, like that guy can get after the quarterback and he might figure out how to get him to the ground one of these days. And Quay, he's not worth it right now.
I know.
I'm sorry. Like, that's going to hurt people's feelings, but he's not worth a second contract right now. He could be.
And the thing to me about Quay, too, and it way different investments. They let Jake Ryan walk. They let Blake Martinez walk. They let them both walk. I don't even know if Desmond Bishop got a second contract. I think he might have gone straight to the Vikings after his rookie deal. I don't remember that specifically. I know they kept extending and releasing A.J. Hawk, but they have a tendency to let these guys boogie on out of here.
Unless you're good. They gave Devondre a lot of money after one good season to come stay in Green Bay, and they regretted that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Real quick, I'm going to go – we're going to do this super fast. Carrington Valentine gets a second contract.
Yeah.
Okay. Carl Brooks gets a second contract. Wicks gets a second contract. I'm going to say the Cliff Dog gets a second contract. Not a big one, but he gets one. And then I'm not going to say no to anybody else. Colby, Tucker Kraft, Jaden Reed, Luke Musgrave, LVN. Right now, I would say odds are better than 50%. And that's a crazy hit rate. I think Brian even mentioned how like 1.6 picks per class get an extension.
Yeah.
He's going crazy right now. Okay. You think this can continue, or are they due for a down draft just by the law of averages? Or does that just not have to happen?
That's hard. Like, the law of averages would say they're due for a down draft, but that doesn't mean people have to understand how good the last two have been as well. And so does a down draft just mean like, oh, instead of everybody looking like a player, maybe five do, you know? And like, that's probably more normal for what is like traditional in the NFL, where you get some young promising talent, or maybe they're just really on a heater. I mean, they haven't lost anybody as far as, you know, personnel people, front office guys. They have not lost anyone. So the guys that have brought you the last two drafts, and I think that's part of it too. We didn't talk about that, but continuity is huge in anything. Anybody that has a job, anyone that's worked on a team, continuity is very important to know, like, hey, I trust this guy. I know what this person's coming in with, stuff like that. And they have not lost anyone. So they could be due for a down draft or not as good of a draft, but they could also just continue this thing, keep it rolling, because Eric Sullivan's still there. Hendrickson's still there. Seal's still there. They have not lost any of these guys. And I will say this is a little bit of a, you know, I'm not going to go off the beaten path too much, but if they do another draft like this, it might not be the case next year. Like, some of these generals might start getting interviews.
Yep. And that was our next point, which is, I mean, this class with 7 picks in the first 5 rounds and 5 picks in the first 91, if it's last year's class, I'll just say it, they're going to win a title. Not necessarily this year, But if they repeat what they did last year with that much ammunition, 5 picks in the top 91, 6 picks in the top 126, they're going to win a title at some point. If they recreate what they did last year with the ammunition and what they have this year, 3 picks in the top 58. If they just get that many really, really good football players, I think they're going to win a title. Okay. Team needs. We'll go through these kind of quick because people that have been watching the Daily Draft, they know. This is going to sound stupid. I'm going to do this like sort of in order of how badly they need them and sort of disregard positional importance. Okay. Because linebacker is literally a need, especially with them moving to a 4-3. They need one. I mean, yeah, you can roll Christian Welch out there at Sam, or you can roll Eric Wilson out there at Sam. There are linebackers in the building. You can't, I don't think, do that if you're being serious. I don't even know if I would feel like the Packers would be real serious if, even if they're going to play 72% nickel, if your two are Quay and McDuff, I don't even know how serious you're being at that point, right? So that's an obvious need. Any disagreement there?
No.
Okay. Safety, quite literally a need. I'm very fine, by the way, with – look, if they take multiple bodies, that's fine. I'm really cool with Anthony Johnson Jr. as an S3. I am. I'm very cool with that. And then, like, S4 and S5, they can be your special teamers. And, yeah, it sucks when Zane Anderson has to play defense or, you know, whomever has to play defense. But you can kind of make it up as you go. I mean, they won a title with Charlie Peppra. And poor guy always catches a stray when I'm talking about that team. But, like, they won a title with Charlie Peppra as the other safety. Okay? They went and got the dude. But they need a safety to start across from Xavier McKinney. And could it be Justin Simmons? Yeah, sure. Could it be Micah Hyde? Absolutely. There's stuff out there. If this whole draft thing doesn't work the way they want it to, there's stuff out there. But they literally need a safety. That's a need, right? This is a good one for you. This is a good topic for you. You just nod your head and agree.
Yeah, you're hitting all the points. Like the only thing I'll say is, like, and you talked about it, like with linebacker, if they don't get somebody in the draft and it's not a great draft, there's no Micah Hyde out there at linebacker. There's no Justin Simmons out there at linebacker. It's like, oh, we'll just go sign that vet for a year and kick the can down the road, try again next year. Like with safety, you can that is an option where it's like, didn't fall the way we liked it. I guess Micah Hyde's Packer again. Cool. Like, yeah. People will love it.
All right, we grab Justin Simmons. It's fine. Yeah. You know, whatever. Offensive line is an interesting discussion. And I think we're all willing to admit that they're going to add some bodies. I'm fine with Dillard as the third tackle. I think he's sort of specific to left tackle, so you better hope Sheed can play right. Like, if Tom gets hurt, you better hope Sheed can play right, because Dillard probably won't want to or doesn't like doing that, if you follow what he, you know, did with the Eagles. And then you're in your interior depth, and there's a bunch of guys who can play, like Elton can play center, right? Tom can play center, so you have backup center depth. Your guard depth is really Royce, which is gonna freak people out a little bit. But you have 5 starters, right? You go down the line, you got Sheed, Elton, Myers, Ryan, and then Tom, so you feel good about that. So that's the whole conversation, right?
Yeah.
How much of a need is a need when you have 5 starters at a 5 starter position?
Do they want to move? I think, you know, when I think as Demoski talked about, they want to move Zach Tom to center. And then that it became like, oh, well, okay, who's playing tackle? You know, and so like that could, you know, I didn't hear what you just said. I don't know if you're muted or not, but.
Sorry. Yeah. And it became, okay, Look at these giant right tackles, you know, yeah. And people started saying Mims, and people started saying Guyton, you know, right? And even to a point, like Fuago, or who's probably a little high, and then like Sua Matia, who's a little low, right, for that spot. But, yeah, I know what you mean.
And so if one of those guys, like, let's say, like, Futana.
Fautanu.
Fatanu,
Washington.
Fatanu or Fashanu. All these tackles names are hard to say. The Penn State kid and the Washington State kid. Two guys that, like, if they're there at 25, which maybe, doubt it, but maybe, you know, yeah. And they take one and they say, like, well, okay, yeah, we're going to move Tom to center. Then I'd be like, okay, I get it. I get that. Like, that's your best five. I would also get it if they would take the Washington State kid and be like, well, we're going to let him compete everywhere and we're going to let it shake out. And or same with like Graham Barton, like the Washington State kid and Graham Barton are very similar in this. Like, we think they can play multiple spots, maybe all five. So we're going to let them settle in where their best spot is and we'll figure it out from there. Sure. That's cool. But like, if you leave the first top 100 without a guy that you're like, we think he can come in and start at right tackle, then why are we moving Zach Tom? Right. So like that whole question and that whole scenario, I get, but like, I don't know what their plan is. So it's hard for me to really see the vision.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. And you know, part of the underrated part of the Zach Tom thing is that Myers is on an expiring deal. So, yep. You know, is that part of your plan? People have talked about potentially Myers having some guard flexibility. You move Tom to center, Myers is probably pissed, but can he back up guard, center, guard?
Maybe.
You know, that has value, obviously. Next spot, cornerback, another, you know, argument, right? Because, like, theoretically, and Justice Mosqueda has said this, they have four guys for three spots. Carrington Valentine, Jair Alexander, Keyshawn Nixon, and Eric Stokes. Well, you can poke holes in all four of those guys easily, right? So is that a need? And then finally, running back, you know, and that one, I think, you know, running back one, running back two, they're pretty set there. I know some people are acting like A.J. Dillon's a camp body. I don't think they view him that way. I don't think Matt views him that way. I don't think it's going to go down like that. But you look, like, I think Matt Breida's still out there. I think Kareem Hunt's still out there. Rashad Penny's still out there. Boston Scott, I think, is still out there. I think Zeke Elliott's still out there. That'd be crazy. Zeke Elliott, Josh Jacobs, and A.J. Dillon. But the point is that, like, if it goes terribly, there's guys. And even then, there's guys, there's sixth-round guys, there's seventh-round guys, there's UDFA guys that pop off every year. Like, you, running back three is fine. But also, if they want to get serious about the running back of the future and they're into Jalen Wright or they're into Marshawn Lloyd or they're into Will Shipley, we're cool with that.
Yeah.
All right, continuing on here, buy the draft guide, folks. Use promo code DAILY for 10% off. We are barreling in on 1,000 guides sold, Jake Morley, and that would be very exciting to us. All right, buddy, you did a post on Packer Report. Let's go one sentence or two maximum. You're my guys.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, so seven of my guys, guys that we just really like in this year's draft class. Let me see if I can remember all seven of them off the top of my head. I think I can. Starting with safety, you know, two guys that I love, you know, Cole Bishop is someone that has been picking up a ton of steam throughout the process, but just an extremely, extremely versatile kid who I think you hear Brian talk about the versatility piece, and man, like, I think he has it. The other guy is Dadrian Taylor Demerson, Texas Tech safety. I don't think he's a Packer, just quite frankly. I don't think he's a Packer, but I love him. He's just a guy that I want on my team. Someone that I've heard glowing reviews from people as far as like him as a person as well. Explosive playmaker, might be a little bit small for the Packers, but if they are willing to look past that, like, by all means, take him. I had two safeties, and then I think I had three wide receivers, which is crazy because Packers probably aren't going to take a wide receiver.
Your guys.
But they're my guys, yeah. And so Malachi Corley was one of them, the kid out of, you know, Western Kentucky. And he is, you know, the self-proclaimed Yak King, and it's kind of true. And you look at what Jason Vrabel has been able to do at the wide receiver position for Green Bay, like, give him that kid and be like, hey, man, teach this kid how to play wide receiver, because holy crap.
Leggett's kind of like that too.
Yeah. And so put the ball in his hands and let him make plays. I think with Corley, and I've talked about this a lot, like, you want to get extremely multiple on offense, put him at running back and split him out or kick him in. Like, he can do that. Yeah. And so that could be a really fun piece. Another guy that I really liked at the wide receiver position, who I think very well could be a Packer, is Luke McCaffrey, one of the McCaffrey bros from Rice.
He's a McCaffrey.
he is. Like, they had Max in camp, right, from your favorite school, Duke. And, yeah. You know, Christian obviously is Christian McCaffrey. And then there's Luke, who played wide receiver was recruited as a wide receiver, big deal coming out as quarterback. Yep. Was a big deal at quarterback coming out of high school. Didn't quite work out for him. Transferred to Rice, played quarterback there. He's been playing wide receiver for 2 years. The nuance that he plays with already it's impressive.
He's a crazy athlete.
Very much a Packer athlete, very much Packer size, production, all that. Would not be surprised in the slightest if they do take a wide receiver on day three and his name's Luke McCaffrey. Another guy that I really liked, I think that's four or five, Cooper Beebe out of K-State. I don't know. I mean, you look at him, he very much tested like a Packer. He looks like, I think you said, air fryer, which is accurate. Yeah. He does look like an air fryer.
Yep.
I don't know what the Packers think about his arm length. I don't. And I don't know if they think he can only play center or guard. I don't know. But I love him. I coached against him in high school. He was not fun to coach against.
That was fun.
Yeah, he absolutely wrecked us. Comes from a great family. Good kid. Would be really fun to see him play in Green Bay.
I got him here for you. I got him real quick. So I got Elijah Jones, Cooper Beebe, Cole Bishop, DTD, Javon Baker, Luke McCaffrey, and Malachi Corley.
So, yeah, Javon Baker, another one that started the process out kind of hot. He is an Alabama transfer. Packer athlete, you know, very much remind me of a Dontavian Wicks when I watched him play, even before the testing. You know, you kind of had the same thing. When you turn on the Wicks tape last year, you're like, holy crap, this guy looks like a Packer. He moves like a Packer. Lo and behold, he tested like one and they took him. Javon Baker is very much similar to that. We don't have all of Javon Baker's testing numbers. Like, he could be a tier two type guy. We don't have his three cone, but he hits every single thing else other than that. So he could be a guy in play. I think he's probably going to go too early to be a Packer, but someone that will be fun to watch outside of that. And then the last guy is Elijah Jones, Boston College.
Old man.
He's an older prospect, but Coach Hapley has, you know, he's familiar with him, but he is tenacious. Like, when you turn on his tape, just absolutely tenacious. Wants to disrupt you. And wants to let you know that he is disrupting you. He wants to disrupt you more than just physically. He wants to disrupt you between the ears as well. Super fun player to watch. Kind of linear, super fast. Doesn't have some of the click and close, change of direction stuff that you might like. But if Green Bay is going to play a lot of press man, he's done it. And he's done it for the coach. That means Hapley could either love him and he's going to absolutely be a Packer, or Hapley, something people don't talk about, Hapley might say no. You know what I mean? No, I don't want him. You know, so we'll see. I really liked his tape, though. Would be excited to see him be a Packer.
All right. I'm going to go faster because we got 9 minutes left, sir.
Yep.
9. Chop Robinson. He's only going to win one way. I think he might do it 10 and a half, 11 or 12 times a year once he gets to his peak. I'm not talking about as a rookie, but like, I think he could be a double digit sack guy. I don't care if it's only a speed rush. I don't. Will Shipley, super athlete. That'll surprise some people. Catches it really naturally. Kind of everything. And this is like my guys, and I think it happens for you too. Like you mentioned, you have a bunch of wide receivers as my guys, and you know they're not going to take one. I think our Packers preferences do seep into the my guys. Like Will Shipley is everything they don't have in that room right now. Speed, agility, you know, he's not 220 or 230, but catches it supernaturally. I just, you know, I think has some special teams value potentially as maybe a kick return, probably not. And they have Keyshawn, obviously, but like, I think just does so many things well. And he might not do anything great. And that's why I think he's a third, fourth, or fifth round pick. I don't think he's a round two back. But I really think he's going to carve out a nice role for himself for like 6 or 8 years in the NFL, which for a running back is a long run. Cole Bishop, you touched on Cole, so I won't. Everybody knows how I feel about Cole. Ben Sinnott, I believe in Ben. Actually, you know what? Mike Renner said Ben Sinnott. I thought it was Sinnott, and then a K-State fan commented and said, you had it right. So no more Ben Sinnott. Ben Sinnott. I mean, I think he'd be the best in a McVay, Shanahan, you know, system, LaFleur system, right? I think he's at his best if he's allowed to play some fullback like he did at K-State. But I don't think it's necessary. Like, you look at what Laporta did last year. And I'm not going to say he's going to be Laporta, but he's taller than Laporta. You know, I don't know how much his lack of length necessarily affects his ceiling, but I just think he's a smart player. He's got strong hands, and he's a super athlete, and that's a good bet at tight end. Johnny Wilson, basically just a space alien freak, 6'7", 230. Like I said, what if Alan Lazard was a 97th percentile athlete? Johnny Wilson. And I'm like one of the higher people in the country on Johnny Wilson, and I got no problem with that. Finally, Xavier Worthy. I think he's a football player. This is very different than John Ross and Henry Ruggs, although I got sucked in by Henry Ruggs. I think Xavier Worthy is a football player who happens to run a 4-2-1, and that has tremendous value. All right, let's get to this stuff quickly. We're going to skip one of these. Biggest Packers fits. You do the Packer people. You know, why don't you give us like 3 or 4 guys? I won't talk at all. Why don't you give us like 3 or 4 guys at positions of needs that are tier one or tier two? You guys can get the full list, obviously, if you do buy the Green Bay draft guide, but like just dudes that are tier ones at where they need them and kind of almost like consensus. And I'm giving you a lot here, but sort of consensus ranking would have them kind of where Green Bay has a pick.
Yeah. So I'll start with just offensive line. Graham Barton is the one that everyone talks about. He's like legit is a perfect fit. I don't know if he'll be there. But Dominic Pooney, the Kansas kid, another guy, very versatile. Yep. Jalen Sundell, North Dakota State, very versatile. They might like him. The Coleman kid out of TCU, Brandon Coleman, who we just got his testing numbers, very Packery, as far as that goes. And then that's offensive line. Some of those guys can play inside, some can play outside. I'll say linebacker, as far as picks go, Trevin Wallace from Kentucky, like I already think he's a Packer. Just kind of where I think he's going to come off the board is kind of where they have picks. He kind of checks, he checks every box of what they've traditionally liked at that position. Curtis Jacobs is another linebacker from Penn State that I think they're going to like a lot. And then as far as like corners, what's crazy about corners is there wasn't like a ton of corners that just were like, boom, boom, boom. There actually was. So the max value for corner was 6. And there's one guy in this entire draft that
and
checked
not heard
box.
Of him.
His name is Willie Drew. He's not ranked in our guy, but he's a guy that could end up being a late day 3 pick. Don't be surprised. You know,
don't be surprised if he's a UDFA either.
No, not at all. Yeah. And so he's one. But other guys that were really close for, you know, kind of day one, day two type stuff is Max Melton, Bo's brother out of Rutgers, cheeseburger away. Terry and Arnold, cheeseburger away from being a perfect fit. He might be gone. But then Kool-Aid McKinstry, we didn't get all of his testing numbers, but he's a guy, we talked about it with Wicks, kind of like you turn the tape on, you're like, oh, man, he very much seems like a Packer. Don't be surprised about him either. And then the last one I'll give is safety. Not a ton of top level safeties in this year's draft class that are just like, boom, perfect fit across the board. But three guys that are very, very close to being perfect fits, like close enough that that's probably exactly what they're saying in that draft room is close enough. Yeah. Cole Bishop, talked about him already, out of Utah. Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. And then the last one, Trey Taylor out of Air Force, day three type guy, Ed Reed's cousin, I think. So there are just some names for you to keep an eye on, you know, as they go through the draft, and they might actually have a shot at taking.
Okay. We're going to do this a little bit different than the structure. I'm going to give you my ideal first five picks within reason, and then my single most likely player to be a Green Bay Packer. Then you do the same, then we'll get the heck out of here, all right? Yeah. All right, here we go. And this has got to be within reason, and I think this is. Pick 25, Cooper DeJean. I think we've done that to death. Pick 41, Jordan Morgan, offensive lineman out of Arizona. Pick 58, I don't know if it is reasonable to say Edgerrin Cooper at this point. I don't think it is reasonable. So I will say Junior Colson at 58. That would be ideal for me. Then at 88, I'm going to go, and I don't know if this is on the menu anymore either, but I'm going to just say that it is. Say Max Melton, cornerback Rutgers at 88. And then at 91, I will take one Marshawn Lloyd, running back at USC. That is an ideal first five picks for me. And it all goes back to the same guy. And I know I had the first overall pick in the Packers draft. I didn't take him. I took somebody else. But hell or high water, I think the most likely player to be a Green Bay Packer after this weekend is Graham Barton, offensive lineman, Duke University.
That, dude, we talked too much because I'm writing down who you picked and stuff. And I was guessing Lloyd is the only one that I would take off. Cooper DeJean, Cooper DeJean is my, that's who I want. Like, that's who I want them to take.
Yes.
You know, realistically, right? Like, if Terry and Arnold falls or something like that, like, sure. But I might still like Cooper. Anyways, so he's not my number one with the bullet. Like, 25, if he is there, if you got to move up, I'd be very fine with moving up for him as well. That pick at 41, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I love Andrew Morgan. I think that would be a fantastic pick.
Jordan Morgan. Andrew Morgan played hoops for the Bison.
Shout out Andrew Morgan. Jordan Morgan, sorry. Versatile lineman out of Arizona. But I'm gonna put Edgerrin Cooper there just because I think that he's the type of guy that they would need and love to have. So that's going to change a little bit what I do. So we'll go him second. And then third, I'm going to put Pooney out of Kansas, kind of a versatile lineman. And then I'm going to take Max Melton, where you took Max Melton.
Okay.
Just a slam dunk of a third round pick. And then I think there is, were their fifth pick?
No, their 91. Fifth
pick was going to be their last top 100 pick.
Yep.
I'm going to put, and I don't know, I'm going to take a different approach. And I'm going to take my running back that I like, and that's Trey Benson, who I think is a great fit and I think would be a good fit. The last thing I'll say, though, is we both took a running back, and Green Bay might have told us already what they think about this running back class. So
yeah, possible. Yeah. Possible. Your most likely player in the whole draft to be a Green Bay Packer?
Edgerrin Cooper.
Okay. All right. Jake, I'm going to let you go. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Take care. Merry draftness.
All right, folks. So much stuff that we, you know, golly, I can't believe we're basically wrapping up the daily draft. It's crazy to me. It is. I want to thank Jake Stack for being here. Excuse me, Jacob Morley. Getting a little emotional. This has been a really fun ride. It's been really fun. The draft's here today when you're getting this. And I really hope to see as many of you tonight at the Cheesehead TV draft guide, or excuse me, Cheesehead TV draft party, if possible, in the Lyric Room in Green Bay. But then please come out to Badger State. It's going to be so much fun. The Pack-A-Day podcast happy hour from 4 to 5:30, hosted by Andy Herman. I'm very excited to see Andy. Haven't seen him in a while. And then 5:30 on, right? Pick 41, pick 58, pick 88, pick 91. I'll be there talking ball, having a couple 1, 2, 3 with all you guys. Super pumped. Badger State has been such an awesome partner for this too. And one final plea, buy the draft guide, guys. Today's Draft Day by The Guide. Use promo code DAILY for 10% off, and you can be an informed Packers fan, baby. Thank you for, and honestly, truthfully, very sincerely, thank you to the Pack a Day Podcast YouTube channel, and of course, Andy Herman, for allowing me this platform, allowing me to be able to connect with you guys. But it's Draftmas, baby. The draft is here. Go Pack, go.